It's great to have you along. It's our Christmas program with Brad Steiger once again and how time does fly. So I'm Jeff Rentz, of course. Get ready for 3 hours of fun, interesting radio, memorable radio, a little time travel as well, some music, all kinds of interesting things coming your way next. And we get to talk to Brad Steiger twice each month, the second and fourth Fridays of the month. We go live to Forest City, Iowa, and talk to the man himself. And he is standing by, I hope, dressed warmly, as usual, this time of year. How is it back there?
I should give a resounding ho, 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 because it looks as though I'm at the North Pole as I look out of my study window tonight. El Nino has deserted us at last. We have having old-fashioned Iowa Midwest winter.
Oh, Jack Frost is pounding you with a hammer.
Oh, it's too cold for Jack Frost to come out.
Is it?
Yeah.
You know, I had an email from somebody in Michigan yesterday, and it was 35 below zero wind chill factor.
Well, a week ago here, it was 60 below wind chill factor.
Come on. Is that
yes.
true?
Yes. Yes.
You know, that's I think, more extreme than the North Pole itself.
Well, they give warnings on the media at all times. Don't go out unless you have to. Because, you know, if you slide into the ditch when it's 60 below and you decide, well, I guess I'll walk to that cluster of lights over there.
Doesn't work.
No, it's bad. So, but we're snug and warm on our home overlooking the Winnebago River, and it just is gorgeous here.
Is the river still moving, or is it frozen?
No, it's frozen to the delight of the snowmobilers.
It's solid frozen all the way across, huh?
Yes, yes, yes. And I think Clear Lake is now, too, and Crystal Lake is, and all of our bodies of water, I think, are pretty solid at this point.
What are the deer doing, Brad, in this kind of weather? What are the elk and the moose and all that?
I always try
to figure that out.
Right now, they're avoiding the hunters. That's what they're doing right now.
I don't think they have much to worry about. I think the hunters are indoors.
Yeah.
But seriously, how do these animals with such... They don't have huge fur coats like a polar bear. Deer don't.
No, they're very hardy animals. And, of course, here, and it's interesting you say that, because we were just watching a herd of deer grazing. We had to run into town, into civilization for a few minutes here. And Sherry was noticing how some are very dark. We have primarily the reddish-colored deer. The dark ones are usually from northern Minnesota, so they must be coming down to get that corn that's been spilled from the harvest. So...
How are they able to graze through that much snow? They just nose around in it?
Yeah, they burrow down, and we get a kick out of watching Fat Boy, as we call him, the squirrel, who crosses from the cornfield across our road, and he finds, yet, under the snow, full ears of corn, and to see him bouncing from tiny limb to tiny limb to take that corn home to his family is just so charming to watch that in the morning as he comes with his breakfast for the family.
Has his little Santa hat on, does he?
Well, as I say, our friendly nickname for him is Fat Boy, and I don't know how he... It's incredible. I will say there's no way he will make that jump. And he will leap to a tiny little branch that you'd think the next thing you're going to see is hope, you know, like a Warner Brothers cartoon. Down he goes to the snow, but he makes it with that big ear of corn tucked under one little arm.
And a whole ear.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to get a picture of that.
Yeah, we've tried. Sherry, by the time we get out there, of course. But it would be a great picture. You know,
that's very cute. That could be the Steiger's next electronic Christmas greeting.
Right.
It's hard to believe our annual Christmas program is here again. We've done so many shows about how time is flying faster and faster, and this is silly.
It is. I told Sherry last night, I said, I sent Brother Jeff an email saying, I know this sounds redundant, it sounds silly, but how can a year have gone by since we did our last Christmas show?
It's amazing. We of course will spend time during the evening tonight, 3 hours, talking about the holidays and how it is a tough time of year for some, but
yes,
ultimately, ultimately we get through it, and we're going to have some fun tonight as well. Do a little time traveling. Music, of course, has always played an essential role in raising, you know, the spiritual vibration of millions of people the world over, and.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly the human voice, as we've talked in the past, is often referred to as the most sacred instrument of all, and
indeed.
I guess rightly so.
Indeed. No, this, as you say, this very day is a very special one in our family, and tomorrow is a very special day, and yesterday was a very special day because of the passing of dear ones at this time of year.
Every day is a blessing, and we need to constantly remember that in this frenetic lifestyle we find ourselves involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, it's wild. During the first part of our Christmas program tonight, we're going to be joined by a very special guest who has been on the program before, Mr. Terry Robinson.
Great.
Terry is a gentleman's gentleman who has been a treasured friend of mine for over 20 years, and who a half century ago was the closest friend of the man who had the most unforgettable vocal gift and memory, and maybe of all time, Mario Lanza, which we do play on the program whenever you're with us, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are saying, who? And let me just, for the record here, I'm going to read just a little bit of an essay that I had once written about this man who had a gift that continues to this day. 40-plus years after he went to a far better place at the ridiculous young age of 38, continues to touch people deeply and profoundly. Consideration, of course, of the human singing voice is usually one of the most subjective and difficult issues of all, especially when you attempt to debate that or describe a voice or explain one to someone else. But that is not the case necessarily with Mario Lanza, because there is really no ultimately satisfactory way to portray that voice using our normal parts of speech, not to mention the limitations imposed by semantics. I have never, Brad, played a sample of Mario Lanza singing to someone who has not been more than impressed, or more often than not, practically thunderstruck.
Right.
The Mario Lanza voice simply should not be found in mortal human form, but thankfully the universe works in strange ways, and it was. At the risk of sounding maybe melodramatic, if God has a voice, it probably passed through Mario Lanza.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'd argue with that.
No.
I have referred to the Lanza voice as superhuman. I should probably add the word supernatural as well. It has been described by some as the northern lights in a throat. Others make the point that Mario brought every word he sang right through his heart before he released it to resonate around the world. And those recordings today are as important now as they were when he made them of
and
his singing.
The album that you have just prepared is probably the ultimate collection of his very best.
Well, thank you. And I hope to have it available at the end of next week. We are real close.
After great.
Eight months
great.
Of work.
Great.
No matter what the description, the impact of Mario Lanza's voice often affects people on the most elemental and, at the same time, cosmically transcendent levels that we sensory beings are capable of responding to. It's an extraordinary experience. The endorsements of Mario Lanza's voice, of course, come from a pantheon of musical legends, including the brilliant conductor Serge Koussevitzky of the last century, he of the Boston Symphony, who said, "There is no doubt this is the greatest voice since Enrico Caruso." And then no less a giant than Maestro Arturo Toscanini, who had worked with Caruso, of course. You music lovers probably know that. He took the compliment even farther without hesitating and declared flatly that Mario Lanza has, quoting, "the greatest voice of the century." Mm-hmm. Even our hip and trendy People magazine recently said that Mario Lanza is magnificent. And as you know, Brad, the three tenors, mm-hmm. and those of you who love the three tenors, mm-hmm. continually pay tribute to Mario during their fabulously successful concerts around the world.
I think they did, not too long ago, almost an entire concert in tribute to Lanza.
Yeah, and Jose Carreras did an entire CD. When you sum it all up, really without any equivocation, Lanza had the most astonishing, dynamic vocal gift of the last 100 years, maybe of all time, as I said, we don't mm-hmm. know. His mm-hmm. his singing voice, without any exception, has an unmatched ability to reach out and somehow deeply touch people anytime, anywhere, no matter what language they may speak or what country they may live in. And for many, in fact, just mentally conjuring up in their mind the sound of that voice can raise their spirits and lift depression. That's pretty incredible, considering that we live in a time of such hyperbole, overkill, product hype, mass marketing gimmicks, and electronic trickery. It's a strange time.
Well, I remember when the great Caruso came out, and Lanza, of course, playing Caruso, and having heard my grandmother's recordings of Caruso, I thought, hey, you know, Lanza, in my opinion, is more magnificent than the great Caruso.
It's a comment made by, as I said, Arturo Toscanini, who conducted and worked with Caruso. He heard them both.
Mm-hmm.
He could hardly believe his ears.
Mm-hmm.
Mario Lanza, in summing it all up, the man and his voice was the real thing. No electronics, no recording studio gimmicks.
No echo chambers.
No. He was a comet, a larger-than-life comet of unsurpassed superhuman vocal expression and heart and complexity and sensitivity.
And gone way too soon.
And yes, and to wrap it all up, above all, passion. He spared nothing to share his gift with the world. It's often said of young tenors, he's another Mario Lanza. But not one of them has come close to living up to that comparison. Mario, in so many ways, taught the world to sing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we'll be right back. Can think of no one I'd rather spend a Christmas program with, and as we always do, Brad Steiger, who is with me. I'm Jeff Rentz, here with you 6 nights a week, live, coast to coast, on many, many radio stations around these United States, and of course, worldwide on the internet as well. Multiple internet casts going out right now to all over this planet of ours. I am very honored to have with me and with Brad tonight, this Christmas program, a man who lived through all of the Lanza magic during those very heady years in Hollywood in the early 1950s, late 40s, very late 40s. His best friend, Terry Robinson, who joins us now from Los Angeles. Hi, Terry. Welcome back.
Hi, Jeff. Hi, Brad.
Hi, Terry. Good
Everything's
to be with
fine
you again.
Here. The weather, I heard you speaking about the weather.
Yeah.
It's 70 degrees here during the afternoon, and it drops down to 50. So we're very lucky here in L.A.
You certainly are.
Terry is a remarkable man. He was really one of the great innovators of physical fitness for many generations of Americans. He has videos out now. You may have seen them in stores. Terry Robinson teaching senior exercise, senior stretch, and all the rest of it. And he was Mr. What, Terry? What was it? It was Mr. New York.
I won the title of Mr. New York in 1948.
That's right.
And there were other contests I went in, but I think the big title that I won was Mr. New York City in 48. And then I left New York and came all the way out to California. The best move I ever made.
Yeah. How did you find yourself involved with Louis B. Mayer and Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, MGM Studios?
At the time, I was a chiropractor, and I came to California to work with one of my professors of anatomy who was out here, and he said to me, if you get out to California, you'll work for me, you'll take the state board, and then we'll be together.
Uh-huh.
And I had a client in New York, very wealthy, who had a son that needed chiropractic stretching, and the father sponsored us, the boy and myself. The boy was 16 and a half, 17 years old, to California. And I was working in Dr. LaPica's office, my ex-school professor, and I was studying for my state board, and I was working as a chiropractor under Dr. LaPica's license.
Mm-hmm.
When a call came, I was all alone in the office, that they needed someone to help Mr. Louis B. Mayer, whose neck was stiff. He couldn't turn his neck. So I answered the call, and I helped Mr. Mayer with some stretching. And he took a look at me. I was 170 pounds of muscle, big shoulders, small waist. And he asked me what else I did, and I told him, Mr. Mayer, I'm a phys ed man who turned into chiropractics. And I was looking at his paintings. He had some nice paintings in his home. And he said, you like painting? I said, well, I paint myself. It's a hobby of mine. And all of a sudden, he got to be very friendly with me. And he asked me if I would help his actors, his people at the studio, male and female, if they were out of shape. At that time, I was training in a gym. And I gave him that phone number. Whenever he needed a trainer, they called me at the gym. I would go out to Metro and work with the star. I'd get paid for it. And one day, Mr. Mayer said, come into my office. I want you to meet someone. You've got to get 30 pounds off him. I'm going to make a movie with him.
Hmm.
And I walked in. Sitting there was a dark-haired fellow. By the way, I heard you mention a lot about Mario's voice. I'd like to tell your audience, besides that singing voice, Mario Lanza was a very handsome young man, which was rare with opera singers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was 28 years old, and he had those sparkling dark eyes and that black hair and a devilish look. He was a handsome kid, and I didn't know much about his singing. And I figured, well, Mr. Mayer was signing up this good-looking kid. I better get the weight off him.
Yeah, very good. Stand by right there, Terry. We'll take a little break, come right back, and hear the rest of the story of Terry Robinson's first meeting with Mario Lanza in Louis B. Mayer's office. And what an amazing move to California, Brad, for Terry Robinson. Step right into it. Be right back in just a couple of minutes. I'm Jeff Rentz. Glad you're here for our Christmas program of the year 2000. To the program. I'm Jeff Rentz with Brad Steiger and our special guest, my friend Terry Robinson, who was telling us, if you just joined us, about his first meeting in Louis B. Mayer's office with young Mario Lanza. He was, did he look 30 pounds overweight to you, Terry?
No, because he had this big chest. And when he stood up, He was taller than I thought, and he was actually around 5'10", 10 and a half in stocking feet. But with that big chest and those wide shoulders, he looked like a pretty good halfback or fullback. And then he did, when we walked a little bit, and he told me that he lifted weights when he was 16 years old in South Philadelphia. And when I mentioned names of some of the boys that I knew from Philadelphia, he knew them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said to me, I know you because I saw your pictures in Strength and Health. So he knew me or about me before I knew anything about him.
You guys hit it off right away.
I still didn't know that he could sing.
Louis B. Mayer, Terry, didn't tell you that he was a singer?
No, he just said he signed him to a contract. He was going to start a picture with him in 30 days.
I see.
I had to get a pound a day off him without weakening him. And I was going down to a place in Santa Monica called Muscle Beach, which was a famous playground right near the Santa Monica Pier for gymnasts, weightlifters, bodybuilders, wrestlers, boxers. Everybody went down that beach. And Lonza had heard about it, even as far back as Philadelphia, where he was born.
Mm-hmm.
So we went down there, and no one knew him, of course. He hadn't made a picture or anything, and he didn't do any concerts that were major where they could know him. And what happened was that he and I'd go down and work out on the beach. We'd run on the beach and then finish with a swim, get him out in the sun, and then I'd sweat him pretty good. And he loved it. He loved that outdoors, and a pound a day came off him. And then one day, I was sitting with Mario and his wife, Betty, who was pregnant, in their little apartment on Spalding Drive in Beverly Hills. And she said, while you guys are eating, I'll put on a record. And I heard this voice, a tenor voice. And I said, is that Caruso? That's the best record of Caruso I ever heard. And I said, my grandmother used to play Caruso all the time. And I never heard it as good as that. And they both started to giggle a little bit. And I looked up. I said, well, did I make a mistake? She said, oh, you made a big mistake, stupid. And she said, that's him singing over there who you're training. Holy cow.
You didn't know until then?
That's it. First time I heard it, I looked at this kid. Oh, boy. Then inside of me, I said, now I know what Mr. Mayer meant. Get the weight off him. I never heard. Now, the funny thing is, that was opera. And when we started the picture called The Midnight Kiss, the first things they recorded the boy doing was pop songs. And I spoke to some of the music men at the studio, and they said to me, that's rare. This is a rare thing that this kid can sing opera and do just as well singing pop. Like he did, they didn't believe me, a Jerome Kern song.
Right.
And then he would belt out Celeste Aida. And they said, this is called a crossover in music. So they said, this guy, if he can act a little bit, will become a major star. Now, these were the Grips, the Music Man, all these guys that worked in studios. And he photographed like $1 million.
Yeah.
And, of course, he sang like $1 million.
Let's go back to the summer, Hollywood Bowl, 1948. And you're hearing the unamplified voice of Mario Lanza. Hollywood Bowl, 1948. Just 27 years old. He had just been booked by MGM and was appearing with Catherine Grayson to sing before the entire packed Hollywood Bowl. Height of the season, the Bowl Orchestra being conducted by the great Eugene Ormandy. All Hollywood studio chiefs were there. Louis B. Mayer in the audience. Terry Robinson was in the audience. And let's listen to what Terry heard.
Yeah.
that crowd applauding was Terry Robinson. Terry, how was it sitting there hearing that?
Unbelievable. I think he got one of the largest audience approvals, ovations in the history of the Hollywood Bowl.
Mm.
And he was just a young kid, just going to be about 28 years old.
How big was that voice in that bowl?
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things at the Hollywood Bowl was every time an airplane went by, you couldn't hear anything on the stage.
Mm.
There was a plane went by, but we still heard Lanza. I got to tell you that. I mean, the write-up in the paper, I'll never forget this, was the voice of liquid gold. That's what the critics called it.
Mm.
For the human voice to be able to do what this kid could do, it was God-given. There's no other way. He didn't have the training of singers coming up. He had one good year of training with the very famous Enrico Rosati in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And this was a natural thing. He was born with this thing, this way that what came out of the top of his head from the bottom of his toes, and he was the victim of it.
Well,
it brought him huge success. It brought him millions of dollars. It also destroyed him at the age of 38.
Okay, we'll pause and come right back with Brad Steiger and our special guest, Terry Robinson. We're going to hear some beautiful Christmas songs as we continue in the first part of our program tonight. I'm Jeff Rentz. Glad you're here, and we shall continue. Welcome back. I'm Jeff Rentz with Brad Steiger and our special guest, Terry Robinson. Brad, do you remember the first time you heard Mario Lanza singing?
In the Midnight Kiss, I think.
That was quite an auspicious debut for a kid like that. Technicolor movie, Catherine Grayson. Jose Turby, who was a world-famous pianist.
I think that was probably... I don't think he had been on the radio at that time. If that's the Hollywood Bowl in 48, Midnight Kiss came out in 49. And I think that would have been my introduction. Our little movie theater in our little Iowa town. I went to every single movie. Three movies a week, three different movies. And I remember the Midnight Kiss, Catherine Grayson.
Terry, how did Mario approach singing a song? How did he just had some way of getting into the lyrics that made them? He lived the lyrics.
He always said about singing. When we asked him how he sang like he sang, how he explained every word, every vowel, he said music has to have words to it. When you sing to the music, you sing those words. You have to pronounce the word as it is meant. If it's a lament, you cry. If it's a happy song, you laugh. You're jolly. If it's drama, you become dramatic. It's like painting. He knew I painted as a hobby. He said it's like you when you're painting. And it's like a writer when he writes. You have to depict. You're painting a picture with your voice. And that's the way he explained it.
You drove him to every recording session you were with him on.
He didn't like every film. He didn't like to drive. So I was the one that did the driving. And he could concentrate on reading a script, sitting in a car. He can go over his music and I'd be doing all the driving. I accompanied him to 10 years. 10 years. I wasn't his chauffeur, but whenever we had to go anywhere, he said, "Terry, get the car."
Yeah. When he would sing a song in the recording studio with the orchestra, what would his reaction be if it was a particularly poignant or religious or spiritual song after the song was over? What would he do?
Well, before we did any religious songs, we lived right near the Good Shepherd Church in Beverly Hills. And he'd always like to go in to the church. And he said, "I did this when I was a boy in Philadelphia. I went to the family church." And he'd sit there and concentrate, kneel down, genuflect, and we'd go out. And I noticed his mood would change. The minute we got to the recording studio, if it was religious music, well, he was in that mood.
Mm.
And I never knew anyone else that ever did that. But Lonza, when he sang, when he recorded, and your listeners, if they get his records, if they listen to his voice, he gave a performance every time he sang. He never cheated. He gave a performance.
We're going to hear now one of his hallmark songs of the season, a spiritual song, a song that many of you may not be too familiar with. It is from the Student Prince.
Mm.
It is called "I'll Walk with God," and we'll hear Terry's description of it as soon as it concludes.
I'll walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I'll lean upon. This is my prayer, my humble plea. May the Lord be ever with me. There is no death.
Terry, you were there for that.
Absolutely.
What was that like?
Absolutely. We did that at MGM Studios. There was never, never, never anyone in the history of the human voice sang like Mario Lanza in anything he ever sang, even when he crooned. I'll tell you something, and your listeners may enjoy this, with the song I'll Walk with God, which is an inspirational song. The gentleman who wrote it, Paul Francis Webster, wrote the lyric. Paul Francis Webster was the winner of maybe 10 Oscars for his music. I went into his home, and he had a whole shelf of Oscars. And I said to Paul, "How did you do with Lanza's I'll Walk with God?" And he looked at me and he said, "I'm going to tell you something. It's a religious song, an inspirational song. It brings me more money than any song lyric I ever wrote on the song sheets. All because Lanza recorded it." And that's a quote from Paul Francis Webster, who wrote the lyric.
Wow. Just about.
I think you answered my question, Terry. I was a freshman in college when Student Prince came out, and I ran right out and bought the album.
Uh-huh.
But I was thinking I had heard, and I think you answered it for me, I'll Walk with God is not in the original Romberg score, is it?
No. It was added to
right.
the score, the same as Beloved.
Right.
Was added to the score.
Right.
Well, we have to take a... Go ahead, Brad. Go
no,
ahead.
I was just going to say, I he answered my question, but I just wanted to share
you're
that
right.
with the audience, too. Yeah.
Very good ear, and you're right, and we'll take our break and come back, spend another half hour with Terry, and hear a magnificent song of the season, A Christmas Carol, and another, which you'll all recognize as well. As we continue, Jeff Rentz with Brad Steiger tonight, our Christmas program, and special guest, the first part of the program, Mr. Terry Robinson.